Okay, watching the movie MASH from 1970. I'm thinking, you know, this is like a leftist movie, I guess. Criticizing the war, satire, and all that stuff. But when you look at this, when I look at this, and see what they are actually bringing through, the message they're bringing through, which I also remember from that time when I was young. I was 15 then. At the leftist, what was a leftist style, lifestyle, you know, except from the political message, which was anyway, you couldn't just speak politics all the time, right? So there was a lifestyle that was supposed to be more natural or cool or wholesome or whatever, following the leftist agenda. When you look at it in this movie, for instance, what do the cool guys do in contrast to the old Christian Stofiles, you know, these typical old-fashioned army men? Well, it's about sex. It's about drinking. It's about drugs. And just being generally, you know, a bit sensuous and just doing what you feel. And of course, because the leftist political ideas in those days were based on Marx and those guys, and a philosophy really that is really a materialistic philosophy, which means that the goal and the satisfaction and the whole, what it was all about, this life and the society and all that, just about enjoying your senses. I would say pretty much the same thing as the capitalists were doing. When it all came down to it, drinking, having sex, and doing this and that, listening to cool music and just having a good time. So, of course, that Christian guy is perturbed by the immoral, you know, because that's also part of it, to dissolve these old notions about morality and ethics according to the Christian, you know, because that's connected to the Christian field there. But then, what happened? Well, I mean, all those revolutionaries, they did that thing, just ended up sitting there enjoying themselves. Sometimes at the cost of the people. In any case, I learned that whatever political system or whatever you are trying to follow, it all comes down to us as individuals, how we are inside, and in which way we are looking out. So then I, by the early 80s, came in contact with or read a book based on the teachings of an elderly Swami from India who came over to the West in the 60s and well, he used to be active in Gandhi's movement back in the days, fighting for the independence of India from the British. But then he met his teacher who told him basically what I'm saying now, that it's really about our consciousness. That's where we need to start. Which it did, and so he came over and he was teaching. He gave at least as a thought experiment or whatever, and really based on the old classical philosophy of India. Kind of a draft for a social order that he called spiritual communism, which I found very interesting because, first of all, well, if you take communism and remove the materialism from it, allow communism to include the soul and God, which there is no reason why it couldn't. In fact, well, in those days they needed to free themselves from the Christians, which had like monopoly of God and the soul and all that. But now we don't have that anymore. So let's make that thought experiment. Then he said, the situation is, according to this understanding of the world and life that you find in, well, old India, but also in most older cultures on the planet, cultures that are known for being quite much in harmony with nature and all of that. So, anyway, he said that a temple in India, for instance, where they have bunch of temples in every town and city and village, basically. The idea with of a temple is it's God's house. And those who are in that temple, they are servants of God. Now, why the temple exists, one reason is that the people living in the area around it, especially the business people and the farmers, they donate some amount of their surplus, you know, what they have extra, to the temple, meaning they give it back to God as a gesture of gratitude. And of course in India we have that word karma yoga, which means just that. As the Bhagavad Gita says, you should perform your work as a yajna, as an offering to God, and then your activities will be very auspicious and you won't be bound by them, as one tends to be by materialistic activities. So What happens is that the temple receives donations food, services, money, all kinds of things. But then the principle is, and the rule is, that nobody within a, I don't know how big radius around that temple should be hungry. So they have, and this is still going on in India, big scale in different cities, free distribution of high quality vegetarian food. That's also been offered to God first. It's called prasadam. It's a very, very nice thing. So this, Prabhupada explained, is the essence and nutshell of spiritual communism. In materialist communism, or communism with, you know, the old style, that didn't really work out well, the people are supposed to serve the people, right? And then the state represents the people, so everyone works for the state, who then is supposed to take care of the people. And like in Sweden, we have the old social democrat tradition, which is somewhere, I would say, a kind of a balanced state between free market and socialism. Which is not bad in principle if it would be practiced right. And that's the thing again, it's about the people behind it, running it. But his idea, very smart, I think, and again based on timeless wisdom and practice in India and other countries, that we are not, you know, instead of the state, you have God. You see it that way, that we are all servants of God. And when we do that, when we do our activities as service for God, they are very auspicious, and we will get back. We will be taken care of, because what it really means is that we turn to God, take shelter of God like that, right? But also, it's a functional way, and because like the way it is and was in temples in India, still is, I emphasize, still going on big time. It depends on people, but those people that are running that and managing that are very important, and it is especially very important that those people have that understanding that I'm also a servant of God, and since everyone is part and parcel of God, I'm the servant of everyone. But if you don't have that, if you would have this material version of socialism, who am I the servant of? The people? Well, some actually did and do think and act that way. Honest socialists or communists, but some don't. And of course, it's the same in the religions and all of that. But the state, as being some kind of embodiment of the people, with nothing more behind all that, and that we all are in it for money and enjoyment and whatever, is standing on a very flimsy ground, and we can see that. Now, capitalism is more honest in that way, just basically starting with the assumption that everyone is greedy, selfish, and that it is the competition that will make everything good. Of course, it isn't that easy either, which we have seen and see clearly. Well, if they were good guys and girls, then it would work again. It's all depending on us people. Are we honest or not? Are we selfish or are we thinking about each other? So if you are smart, you know how to make money, you know how to collect power, you can do that, and it has not much to do with free, honest, benign competition spirit. It's about the law of the jungle. Eat and get eaten. So again, why I like this concept of spiritual communism, except for the fact that it has been, and maybe still is, practiced, and proven successful. I know someone will challenge me on that, but I'm ready to defend that. But it is also powered by a spirit of service and devotion to God and to all God's parts. And parts is meaning all living beings. That's the spirit upon which it is running, this whole system. At least there is a working spirit behind it. And it's rooted in a simple but quite profound logic that if a tree on the, you know, if you try to water every leaf on a tree, it wouldn't work. But if you put the water on the roots, then all the leaves will also be satisfied. So if I try to just satisfy and work for myself as an isolated spark floating around in a big empty cosmos among others, sparks with their own self-interest, then I won't be satisfied. But if I see myself that way, as a twig or leaf on a tree, which is the total of existence, which is Krishna God, and I serve that whole tree by watering the roots, then I'm also satisfied.